Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Mr. Rating Rainbow over here if you're watching in YouTube. Johnny, look, he's even got the matching t-shirt with the background. I got to step my game up here. I apologize in advance. Johnny's got the topic today, so I'm going to sit back and he's going to take us right into this. Let's go.
So since we're heading into a new year, 2025, I think that's an important year. We'll be looking back on 2025. We're not going to have any new fees at Amazon, so that's exciting. Does not mean they're not going to increase existing ones, but there's not going to be any new surprise fees that they slap us with. Also in the new year, I want to talk about schedule, routine, and regimen. I think all three are key to successful business. First one being your schedule. So I'm gonna assume some of you may be new, because what happens in January, people decide to start getting extra money. So what is a proper schedule in reselling? To me, it is outlining your personal schedule, because you're just starting out. So I'm gonna assume you have a job of some form already. And then figuring out where I can slot my side hustle in, my reselling business in. And that's going to be dictated by your personal and work schedule. And you may have to trim things back. Work schedule you may not be able to control, but the personal stuff you can juggle around to mesh with your new secondary job, your side hustle, essentially. So first step, outlining your work schedule, and then where is your personal, and then figuring out where to put in your reselling side hustle business within those parameters. And again, the person will be able to jug around. If you're able to talk to your boss about getting a more conducive schedule for your day to day, or maybe, hey, if I work a little harder during the week, can I have an extra day off? Like, I'm doing the same hours, I just like an extra day off. If you have that flexibility, some of you may not have that flexibility. And the reason this is important is if everything's different every day, it makes it much harder to get through, well, the day, essentially, the grind, I'm going to call it, because it is going to be a grind, because we got work, we got personal, and now we have side hustle. So your time is going to become more and more precious. So we need to maximize our side hustle time as much as we can. In order to do that, our first two with our personal or work schedule have to be in line. Otherwise, you're going to hit it for like a week, and then in the next week that follows with a chaotic schedule, you're going to crash and burn and you're going to get nothing accomplished, in my opinion. Thoughts, Mike?
I am going to side with all the people who like to fly by the seat of their pants and live vicariously through who the hell knows what's going to happen today, Johnny. I have, you know, I've been that person. I'm a little better, but I will admit, anybody out there listening right now and you're that person, it's like, I just kind of go when I can go, and I kind of just squeeze it in, and I kind of do things here and there. I'm right there next to you. It is hard to get yourself down and really narrow your time down and see where your time is spent. And like, I did the monthly call schedule the other day, and I made it up like a preliminary draft. And I said to my wife, I said, here, take a look at this. And I was like, it seemed good to me, Johnny, right? I'm like, this looks great. And I got it like immediately back on my desk. Like, this is, what are you thinking?
Was it like colored in red with all your errors?
I think it's one of those things where we have our own idea in our mind of what we think is like works best when it comes to fitting different things in timeline wise, when it comes to reselling. And it's almost the complete opposite, because I do agree, resellers waste a lot of time, and having some type of structure where you can, because Johnny said it, same way when I was at CVS, it was just what days can I get off and maybe sneak in a thrift store run. So if you're part-time, it's harder, but it still is essential because you don't have as much time. So yes, it's harder because you don't know when you're going to have off, but those minutes, those hours you have are more precious to you versus the person like me and Johnny, like this is all we do. we kind of have more time to work with, so we can be a little bit more flexible. Schedule can sink you really fast, and that's probably the reason it took me as many years to build this business to what it is. I wouldn't say, I mean, it wasn't finding inventory. It was just a bad schedule, right? Instead of thrifting all day, I would go to one thrift store a day. Instead of going to 10 a day, I'd go to two a day and then come back home. And I'm driving the same way, like every single day. Like, why not just hit everything when I drive across the river that way? And then I don't have to go back out that way again tomorrow. So there's a lot of like concrete proof that the schedule makes sense. But dude, I just think for people like me and many, many other resellers, it's tough to be the person to be on the schedule. And that's me coming from somebody who worked at CVS for over 10 years as a store manager. And like, I made everybody else's schedule, including my own. And it was tough leaving that world and trying to figure out the world of, okay, I'm still making my own schedule, but you got to take so many other things into consideration. And if you don't have the district manager bearing down, if you don't have the deb over your shoulder, like slamming your schedule back on your desk, dude, you just do what you want.
Right. I mean, your schedule's not going to be perfect. You think it is, but you're going to actually do it and you're like, this doesn't work. So it's back to the drawing board. You tweak your schedule and it works better than it did. And you got to tweak it again the third week, then the fourth week. And then at some point, some magical point on this journey, your schedule is pretty much perfect. Now, there are going to be outlier things that disrupt you. You getting a flat tire is going to jack up your schedule. You having an impromptu guest wanting to stay with you is going to jack up your schedule. An emergency, family, pets, or otherwise, or personal emergency, that's going to jack up your schedule. The schedule is going to spill into what we're going to go into next, which is routine. The schedule is part of the routine. The things on the schedule are your routine. Now, having the flexibility in your routine for when things go awry, because we can only account for so much. Unless you're really good at a crystal ball, you can't predict everything. But when these things happen, if we've scheduled appropriately, we'll have enough buffer from all the work we've done where it doesn't impact us as much. An example of this, just doing a little bit extra, like on your listings or one extra box a week. So if something happens and you have to miss your listings and/or box, it's not going to be a huge impact because of all the little extra work you've done in advance. And yeah, things are just going to come at you like the deal of the century, but that deal of the century takes up your whole week, and you've lost now a week of what was your schedule in your normal routine. This is comes outside of the routine. So the schedule keeps the routine in line until it's broken, but if we've done it correctly, again, we will have when it does break, it will not impact us as critically as if we were willy-nilly all over the place. Yeah, and I think Mike's right. It's hard to self-manage yourself because if you're doing this full-time, I could just sleep in today. It's hard to not give in to that. I mean, you have the option. If you need the time off, go for it. Also, while doing this, you may figure out I have no extra time. I can't get what I want done in a single day. Well, the point of this exercise is, well, the one key thing that we all do in abundance of, and some people may turn us off right here and right now when I say this, is usually what happens is you have to give up sleep either on the front end or the back end. Either you're getting up earlier or you're staying up a little later to cram in your personal goals. It's that you dial those personal goals way back if you're unwilling to give up the sleep. But the correct answer, in my not so humble opinion, is to give up a little sleep either on the front or back end, or perhaps both. I promise you, just like a regular job, if you have to work a double, well, you're sleeping a little less to work that double kind of deal. And sometimes you may have to do that on those, like what I mentioned earlier, those deals of a lifetime that's going to take a full week of work. You're going to have to sleep a little less to get everything in. That's the real hack. If you sleep a little less and work a little more, because I think over the lifetime, a person sleeps 29 years. You're asleep 29 years of time.
I for one am not giving up sleep, but I don't have the commitments, but I know for a fact that commitments are not an excuse, because I have, coaching calls with people that come from all walks of life that have multiple kids, multiple opportunities that are spinning around them, work full-time jobs, and they still get it done. The idea you don't have time, yes, it can be true to a certain extent, but I think it's kind of spun up in our minds too much because we do waste a lot of time, doing things that aren't productive. But if you are the person that's working all the time and you feel like you're not getting nowhere, you still got to change something, right? Like, I'm not reselling, dude. I'm not selling on Amazon 40 plus hours a week if the money is not rolling in. Like, I need to be making some serious money if you're going to have me out at the storage unit in 30 degree weather, around the clock, in the thrift stores, sourcing. People have commitments, but that's not an excuse for them. You know what those people do? They use those time commitments, whether that's taking care of a family member, raising kids, being the head of the household.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
They use that as motivation to what Johnny said is to, okay, well, you know what? It's okay. I can stay up an extra hour later. I can, not watch Squid Games, right? I just started watching Squid Games last night, season two. Shameless plug. I only watched one episode. We'll see if I stick with
Yeah, I'm
it through this.
15 minutes in, then I fell asleep.
Hey, in my defense, I've built my business to a point where I don't have to be in it that much. But, this year I do plan on getting out more and kind of seeing what I can turn this business into. Like, what is the potential as a one or two person operation if I can con my wife to come out with me a little bit this year? So for me, I fall on the opposite side. Like, it's funny because Johnny talks about all this structure, and I'm literally like the complete opposite of it. I do have structure. I'm much more than I used to be, which is crazy, right? I used to just do whatever the hell I wanted. But I do fall on the other side of you have to enjoy life some, right? Like, if you're miserable reselling, then you probably shouldn't be sacrificing your time doing it to begin with. So the idea that these people get stuck spending all this time and they don't get the results, I just don't understand it, because if I hated reselling and I was spending a lot of time doing it, I just wouldn't do it. But for some reason, we continue to drag ourselves and not be productive in the hours we give the business is another one, right? Like, if I tell myself I'm going thrifting today, Johnny, the only thing I'm doing in the thrift store is going in, scanning the media, and leaving. I'm not shopping around. Maybe if Deb wants something or she's looking for something particular, maybe she wants a little knickknack or something, I'll go run down the aisle real quick and glance. But I know that when we go in thrift stores, it's like walking into the fair, right? You're like, oh, there's corn dogs over there, there's cotton candy over there. I'm like, I'm just here for the fries and I'm out of here, right? Like, I'm not messing around with nothing else. We get so distracted and we waste so much time. And it's cheesy to say, like, you're wasting time at the thrift store, but you are. Think about how many more stores you can go to. And we scan media. We scan tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of media barcodes every single year. And I know for a fact people do not scan the majority of items in thrift stores. They play this stupid game of, I can go in and I can look at the shelves and I can pick out which ones I think are worth it. And it's the reason why I've lasted this long, and it's the reason why I've been able to grow the business the way I have, is because I put the work in, Johnny. I scan this shit. People are like, I don't scan fiction. I don't scan kids' books. I just literally send in a full box of kids' books. No other bookseller is going to mess around with it. The fiction stuff sells super fast. We were talking about triggers before this. Anything that's going to sell the same day and I'm going to make $3, $4 on, I'm buying that every single time. But for some reason, I don't know. It's like we got to take shortcuts in basically what we're supposed to do, what our job is. Well, I don't know, understand why resellers, we always got to be trying to find like a secret hack to make it easier. It's not easier, it's just work.
Yeah, I mean, there is no easy button in reselling. It's work, like you said. It's hard work, week after week, day after day, month after month, year over year. Because every year we think about how we can do better, and we're in January here. How can I do 2025 better? Well, I think a schedule is a great first step, and then having a routine, and then the regimen, which is very similar to routine. It's a planned set of actions you take to accomplish, which all start back at the schedule. So what are the actions that are part of our routine? And us being able to diagnose and pulling out the unimportant actions and putting more time or replacing them with impactful, profitable actions, I think is an art form in and of itself. Because we can work long, extreme hours doing dumb stuff or waste of time things. Like, I think we're all guilty of this early on in the journey. We watch way too much YouTube to figure out. We're trying to be like sponges and get everything right and absorb everything. And there's nothing wrong to that, minus the hours you pump into that. Do a little bit of education. Take one thing and build on that. Once you got that down, take that other thing and build on that. If you're the person that watches YouTube for 6 hours and does your reselling business 1 hour, that is a teeter-totter that is in proportion. It's portioned incorrectly. So we need to balance it out with the regimen and the routine and the schedule. So yeah, if part of your schedule, you should definitely put in education in there when you make it. I do think it's important to learn from others very much. Knowledge is very much power. However, most of our hours need to be pumped into actually doing the work part of our business. But we can't do too much work because if we have that family bracket in our schedule and that's only 30 minutes a day, your family is going to be very, very upset with you. You're working all the time. First, your day job. And when you come home, when you're supposed to be spending time with me, you immediately go to the photography room or you immediately go to the Amazon room or you're back out. You came in, used the restroom, grabbed some coffee, and you went off to the thrift store. You didn't even say hello. You're a jerk McJerk face at that point. And they're right and you're wrong in this instance.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, think about it this way. We talked about it many, many podcast episodes ago, but I still think it's the truest thing. There has to be sacrifices made, but it can't be an infinite sacrifice for the rest of your life. If I go to Deb and say, hey, I want to do XYZ, and here's what it's going to take for the next 3 to 6 months to get it where it needs to be, then that's fine. But the idea of we're just always doing it and we're never getting nowhere. We're never gaining ground. Like Johnny said, nobody in their right mind is going to deal with you. If you come home from work, you work 40, 50 hours a week, you go right to your reselling business, you got a significant other, that is not healthy by any means necessary. So you got to find other ways to wiggle this in. And people are up listing at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. because they realize this is a sacrifice for a period of time that's going to change my financial future in a way that I can't otherwise do. So you sacrifice for a period of time, and it's not forever. And I think resellers get in this trap of we're never getting anywhere, but you feel like you're giving your whole life away to the business.
No, absolutely. And if you have a significant other or you have children, you're a single parent, you need to sit down with either and or both, whatever your circumstance may be. And like, I made this schedule myself, but I need feedback from you because I want to make sure you people that are important to me get your time with me and what you're looking at here. Is it enough for you? Or do I need to go back and trim it off and well, resubmit it to you guys because they need to be on board with what you're doing. Because if you're at odds with each other, that's going to cause both mental real estate on you or unplanned mental real estate when they yell at you for being a bad person in life. And you are a bad person in life if you lack the communication skill. Communication's key when you're getting into this, in my opinion. So start the year off right, talk to them, make a schedule, adjust the routine. And whatever the marching regimen of your planned action course is. And it could be your significant other is totally against it at first. But once the money starts rolling in, you know what, honey? You know that 2 hour of Law and Order we watch? We're going to cut that down to one. I want you making more money for us because we can do more things in life that way. It's a give and take, especially in that regard. Even if you're dating, get the girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever in line of. What makes this work with us still being able to have a relationship? Because this is what I'm thinking, but your input is very important to me, even if it's like an early stage relationship.
If you don't have a significant other, you need to have this conversation with yourself, like
Yes.
100%. So you don't escape this if you're the person like, well, I don't have no kids, I'm by myself. No, you're not getting away from us here. You need to have this conversation with yourself. I think the schedule and understanding this, I think, because there's always going to be moving pieces. Johnny said it earlier. Like I'll give a perfect example. When my estate sale company reaches out to me or a library reaches out to me, it's not like it's every second Monday of the month, I know I'm going to get it. It's usually, hey, I got estate sale going on tomorrow, or like, so there's always going to be moving parts. But if you have everything else in line, it's easy to kind of shift things around and make it make sense. If you have it all plotted out, okay, then you can just drag and drop like your whole day, right? You just drag your Monday to Wednesday, and that's A-okay. And you just kind of work it that way. But if you don't have no idea what's going on, and then you get the text message, oh yeah, I need you here tomorrow to come pick up a carload of books, your whole week and your whole month is blown up because of that. So there can be moving parts in your schedule. Not everything is going to be, all right, this is dead set. This is exactly how it's going to be. There's always going to be moving things going on.
Right. And so we're giving you the baseline, but I'm now going to move on to what I've learned and Mike's learned. Hopefully he has learned things that he'll share with us about how to adjust these when things happen. So I'll give you a perfect for instance, like shipping. What causes you to not move your body while shipping? I think that's very important. You're taking very little steps. Either you're turning or you're moving your torso up or down. I'm making hand animations. If you're listening to me, you cannot see what I'm doing right now, but I'm sure I look like a mime, even though I'm talking. But removing steps, and it's not a metaphor here, it's literal steps. Like you taking a single step to the left or right or 10 steps over, if your mailers are on the other side of the room and you're constantly going back and forth, you're doing it wrong. Figure out a way where the mailers are in front of you at the shipping station, where you literally just have to pick it up and then do your packaging or whatever. That'll save you those precious seconds we're talking about, especially if you're just starting this and you got the job and you got the family. When you're doing something, how do I eliminate physical steps and or additional steps in a secondary stage? Maybe the second thing I move to on for my action or whatever my I'm doing, let's say it's shipping and then I need to do my mail run. Well, maybe to save yourself a little bit of time, you have, I don't know, a tote beneath you that you're tossing these tubs in. And then when you pick it up, you just clear on out to the mail run. So figuring out how to eliminate steps or make a next stage of your process or your work routine more efficient is very vital. But you need to do this with everything because every minute in this is precious, and you working or eliminating time to squeeze more time in. Either personal time or extra reselling time or getting a little bit of extra sleep if you need it, if you're one of those individuals that needs more sleep. I'm a weirdo and I don't need much sleep apparently, but yeah, I mean that I think that is a very critical thing. Do you have something similar or an example?
I am yet again on the opposite side of Johnny on this. Like, I remember when way back when we first kind of were having conversations, when we first met back in 1990, you have always been this way about like cutting seconds out of processes. And to me, dude, at first I'm like, dude, you're talking like 1 second, I gotta twist my body. Like, but I do agree. I've come a long way since then. It adds up quickly, especially as you start to scale the business. So even right now, you might not be the person that's packing 50 orders a day, right? But sooner or later, you're going to get there. So let's start thinking about plans and ways to make this make sense. We also had podcast episodes talking about shipping, right? And like uniformity in shipping to make your life easier. Everything's right there in front of you. All your stuff's right there. You're not going back to this, twisting around in my computer chair all day long, right? I'm not like grabbing one, scanning it, twisting. So there is a lot to be said about processes in your routine and your regimen, and that's the only reason I've been able to cut my time back to, the 20 hours a week is because I've repeatedly changed the way I process things to a point where it is the most time efficient, and I still suck at it, right? There's still space. I don't think anybody out there is like the perfect can every second possibly shaved every single time. I don't think that exists. So there's always room for improvement, but it adds up, man. Like, especially if you're like me and you want to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Listen, if this little change is going to give you an extra episode at the end of the night,
Yeah.
let's, like I need to go sit down with Robert Stack. We need to watch an episode. We need to solve some mysteries. I call in the hotline every night. Like, hey, I know what happened here, right? There's motivation behind it. And I think all of this comes down to the routine, the regimen, the schedule. its structure in a business. You are a business. As much as you think reselling and flipper and, I'm just this cool girl or guy that just goes and does things, that is how you lose in this game. You have to treat it like a business, and all businesses have structure. Sure, it might not seem like it from the outside. It's just Johnny B, right? But once you peel back the layers, okay, well, here's what he does this day. Here's what he does this day. He's off this day. He's got this relationship that he's got to go take care of. So everybody has a structure, their business structure almost. If you're by yourself, it's just, well, what does your business structure look like? But we don't think of it that way. We just think of it as, well, dude, we're just cool resellers, and we're hip over here in the reselling land. We kind of can just do whatever the hell we want.
Right, and it's using the brain case, your thinking power, to figure out how do I get my time back to go do this. This can be personal. This can be sleep related. This can be a relationship related. It's just to fuel more minutes to over there, wherever over there may be for you. Another example of this, I'll use an employee here, but you can do the same thing if you're just working by yourself. So if you got an employee, you taking a second, you've given them the task. You watch them. What are they doing to waste time, quote unquote? They're unaware of it. Whether if they're taking photos, that they're constantly putting the camera down. Okay, like how do you not put the camera down between each item? Because that adds up, especially if you're doing hundreds of items at a time. Well, how do I watch myself? Because it's just me. I don't got any employees. Johnny, you record yourself. Everybody has, well, I'm not going to say everybody. I'm going to say most people have some kind of recording device. Record yourself doing a mundane task. How can you get through that shit? Because it's shitty, because it's mundane, faster. Because you want to get through that as fast as possible, whether that's shipping, whether that's pulling and packing, whether that's processing, whether that's unloading the vehicle. Record yourself. What are you? You'll notice little things that you're unaware of that you're doing incorrectly, or like, hey, I shouldn't be putting this, unloading a tub. And then pulling out a single item at a time to reload the tub. No, just pull the tub out, put it on a, get a cart to pull it on out, roll it on in. Simple things like that, they add up. But if you, in order for them to add up, you got to analyze all aspects of your business. And the one we hate the most, the bookkeeping part. That needs that's very much part of the schedule and routine and regimen, I think, as well. Whether you're doing it weekly or monthly. If you're extra special, maybe you're even doing it daily just to keep everything in check.
I think you gotta load the task into time slots that make sense. And I think the idea of doing it at all at once versus broken down over days wins every single time, at least in my experience, right? Like, I always tell everybody, like, I pack boxes on Saturdays, right? You can't see the boxes because they're hiding behind you in the green screen. I don't actually, it's all fake. Everything's fake. This is all just a simulation. I'm just AI. But I think the idea, like bookkeeping, I do, QuickBooks self-employed. So like I upload all my own receipts, and it's what Johnny said, I get a little stack here underneath my computer screen and just knock them out one day. I think the people that will lose in this are the people that try to do every little task every day that doesn't need to get done every day, right? So I come back from thrifting, I take photos of my receipts right then and there, versus have a pile of my receipts, set a time out one day of the week, and I go do everything. It's the same with packing boxes. Now, as you scale, if you have too much inventory, right, like, and you can't pack it all in one day, then yes, you got to figure out another day to work. But I'm not going thrifting, bringing it home, peeling the stickers, and then packing the box the same day. If you set the task for one single day, you can be more focused on what's in front of you. And it actually saves you time by doing that way, even though at the time you're like, well, I just threw, I bring up all my like IKEA bags full of stuff. And Deb's like, you got all these bags all over the place. I'm like, yeah, it'll get taken care of, come Friday, Saturday. Cause I usually try to prep a lot of the stuff Friday. So Saturday, all I'm doing is listing and labeling. I think that you got to get over that hurdle. And I know a lot of people that resell, it's like the OCD brain where they got it there and it needs to get done right away. And I'm here to tell you, it'll get done. But doing it right away is actually costing you more time instead of you just set a certain day and time frame to get it done then. But then you can get it all done at once. You're more focused.
Yeah, and along these lines, this is mainly to Amazon people. You could pack a box a day, or you could pack 7 boxes in one day. I think the 7 boxes in 1 day is doable in a full day. Like, it's your day off, but you've assigned your day off to reselling. Because taking a packing a box does take a little bit of time. However, the bigger hack, I think, even on top of that, is depending on the relationship with your UPS driver. And we've talked about relationships in plenty of other previous videos, so go back and listen to all of those. It's covered, I promise you. Having that guy come in and picking up those 7 boxes instead of you having to go out. And if you're at the point where you're doing multiple boxes a day, again, having him come out on a single pickup day is optimal. Because let's say it's 10 minutes away, but that's 10 minutes away every day. That's an hour of your driving time. And Mike kind of brushed on this earlier. Sourcing, having a sourcing route. He was going to a thrift every day, and then he decided, you know what? I'm just going to do all the thrifts in this one day and knock it all out in this one area. Because this one area, I assume, is a fair distance away, maybe half an hour or longer. So doing an hour commute each way, 7 days, versus doing an hour commute once a week is going to save you a lot of time, ladies and gentlemen. It's just simple as that. So figuring out that kind of stuff, how can you batch these processes together to get knocked out on a single day? And if you're at the point of your business where the batch processing is happening every day, well, you're further along than probably most of the people that this podcast applies to.
100%. So we're going to wrap it up here, right? I admitted this podcast episode that my structure sucks. I'm like most of you out there reselling. We kind of try to figure it out as we go. You don't have to be the crazy time slotter like Johnny is, but little changes, little tweaks in your schedule, a little bit of structure, I promise you will go a long way. So start thinking about this year. What can I do? What do I feel like I'm wasting time on? Or what tasks can I batch together that's going to get me some time back, especially if you don't have a lot of time. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.